Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Did y'all pray with me? Lord, we love you. And Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. You are so good to us, Father. Your love is steadfast. It is constant. And Father, we just adore you and we worship you here tonight. And Lord, I pray that for each one of us, Lord, we have a hunger to know you in a deeper way. We love you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so I've offended a lot of people because of my inability to grasp and understand technology. So I'm going to further offend. I want to say a couple of things. Do you know why I don't do a lot of text messaging? One is because it's hard for me to figure out which number the letter's on. Anybody else have that problem? So anyway, that's hard for me. But I'm very critical of people that text. Now, I may or may not go on with this story. Let me just say, how many of you text message? Wow, that's why I love text messaging. Anyway, if you'll turn with me. Now, let me tell you, I won't pigeonhole you, but I'll just confess for myself. Do you know why I text mainly? Because I have my own agenda. And if I call you, I'm going to have to say, how are you? When really, I don't care how you are. And not caring how you are, I'm going to have to listen to how you are. And I'm praying that you're fine, right? That's what I always say, even if my world's crashing in around me. How are you? Fine. And right? But, you know, there are those people when you ask that, you know, because I'm sure people have done it to me on Sunday morning. You know, I walk up and down the aisles and shake hands. How are you? And I'm sure somebody, just to test me every once in a while, says, I'm doing horrible. And I say, well, good. How are you? You know, you just go on. And so I text message because I want you to hear from me, but I don't want to hear from you. There you go. Is that honest enough? How many of you would admit that maybe there's a little bit of that there with you too? One, two, three. Okay. Never mind. Well, we're going to talk about prayer tonight. And I think that for a lot of us, me included, my prayer is kind of like spiritual texting. I want God to hear from me. I want God to know what I think I need, or I want God to know about what I want, but I'm not as interested in hearing from Him. And so my prayers a lot of times are more like a spiritual text message, so that God can get a clue of what's going on with me and what I need, and not so much for me to hear from Him. And so I want to share this with you tonight. And I'll be honest, this for me is one of the hardest topics to preach on. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't know how many of you are like this, but I want to be doing something. Anybody else like that? I mean, I want to be doing something. If there's a problem, I want to fix it. If somebody's not feeling bad, I want to make them feel better. So I like to do things. And a lot of times I feel like prayer isn't doing anything. And I want to be moving. I want to be doing something. And spiritually, do you know how I paint that? Spiritually, I paint that as, well, I'm putting feet to my prayers. That's what I say. But I have to admit to you, prayer is about the intimacy that we have with our Creator. That's what prayer is about. It's that communication. It's that relationship that we have. Because I promise you this, if I communicated with my wife like I communicated with God, I probably would not be married. If I communicated with God the way I communicate, if I communicate with my friends the way I communicated with God, I probably wouldn't have any friends. Mom? And that's why this message is crucial. So I'm going to ask you if you'd really, really open up your heart tonight. And I've had to really open up my heart this week when Pastor Steve said, hey, this week we're going to we're going to preach about prayer. There was a gulp in my throat because, man, my prayer life needs work. And so as I begin to study the scriptures and begin to read, I just want to share with you some things about prayer that I think are crucial. If you'll look with me in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, I'm going to use there's several passages where Jesus is teaching the disciples to pray. I'm going to go with the Luke account, so it'll sound a little bit different. Luke chapter 11, page 808. If you have this one. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And then he says this: "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' And Jesus says, 'I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is a friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs.'" So the idea, and I can relate to this. You know, somebody comes to your house, you have nothing to offer them. You got to understand, in this Jewish culture, this Jewish context here in the Gospel of Luke, that would be a disgrace not to have something for your guests. And so they're all hearing Jesus tell the story, and they understand what he's telling them. So you go to your neighbor at midnight. Now, I've done this. Gone to the neighbor at midnight and asked if they had donuts or, you know, Twinkies, you know, something, and a glass of milk, because I don't want all that unless I got milk. And it says the person would not be compelled based on your friendship, but they'd be compelled based on your boldness. I mean, if you get up at midnight and you go to a neighbor's house and you need something, they would be more moved, you know, by the boldness of that than by the relationship that is there. And so the disciples are listening to this and they get this. You know, they understand this. And so listen to what Jesus said. Verse 9. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." This message is not going to go the way that you think it might go. Jesus is not saying to them, "Whatever you want, the Father will just give that to you." Although it sounds like it, doesn't it? If you want something, ask for it. How do we know that's not what Jesus meant? This will be interactive tonight. How do we know Jesus didn't mean, you know, whatever you want, just ask for it? Does anybody here know that it doesn't work like that? Let me tell you how I know that's not what Jesus said, because I've done it. And it didn't work that way. And I've prayed and I've asked for things that I'm yet to receive, right? Some of those things, maybe I'll receive them later when I can handle it, right? Some of those things I'll never receive. Why? Because they're not godly things. They're not Godward things. And so the point of this isn't about whatever you want, you pray for. Now, remember, when Jesus is speaking, this is all about Jesus. Jesus was all about whose business? You remember in the temple, they lost little Jesus and they couldn't find him, right? And they finally catch up to him and say, "Where have you been?" And Jesus said, "Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business?" Because that's what Jesus was all about, the Father's business. So prayer, now I want you to hear this, because this could bring up a lot of questions. Or maybe some of you might even just very much disagree with me. And if you do, just email me, Tully@Hillview.com. And we'll deal with that. This is about Jesus. I've said this a lot on Wednesday nights. This life is not about us. Everybody get that? That's hard. It's not a fun thing to understand. I wanted to write a book called It's Not About Us, but who's going to buy it, right? But it's not about us. This is about the Father. This is about intimacy with the Father. One of the greatest opportunities you and I have to broaden and deepen the intimacy that we have with God is through prayer. So prayer isn't about what we want, but let me tell you what prayer is about. Are you ready? If prayer is not about what we want, then prayer must be about what God wants. C.S. Lewis said, prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes me. You get that? You see that? And the intimacy that we have. But for me, when I pray so many times, the prayer is not about God. It's about me. It's about what I want. Now, let me ask you this question. Is it wrong for me to ask God for what I want? Some of you aren't sure how to answer based on what I've been saying. Is it wrong? No. He is your heavenly Father. You know what I tell my kids? You can ask Daddy anything. Why? Because I love them. But that doesn't mean they're going to get what they ask for. Matter of fact, sometimes they don't get what they ask for because Daddy loves them. And they're not going to get it. And so we go before the throne of God. The Bible says we boldly approach the throne of God, and we can ask anything, right? And so there is this idea throughout the scriptures that prayer is communication. It's our relationship with God, and we can go and we can ask God for things. I think Garth Brooks was wrong. I don't think there's unanswered prayer. Most of the prayers that we say are unanswered are the ones that God said no to a long time ago. And rather than owning the fact that God said no, we just say, well, that prayer is unanswered. When God has already answered, or maybe God has said yes, but the timing's not right. And God said, absolutely, what you want, I will give you at this time. But here's the heart of it. That drops on. Here's the heart of it. Prayer is about what God wants and what God desires for each of our lives. That's what prayer is about. When Jesus tells a story about the guy going to his neighbor and the neighbor's moved by his boldness, what is the point of that story? What is it Jesus is trying to tell them? That story is about the boldness with which we approach God, that we would ask anything. Does God care about the big things? This is horrible. Y'all tired? Does God care about the big things? Does God care about the little things? God cares. Why does he care? Because those things are important? I'm just going to tell you, God doesn't care because all those things are important. God cares because he loves you. So whatever my kids, whatever their questions are, they are important to me because they are my children. And I want you to hear it in that light. You see, my prayer for tonight is that we would be challenged in our prayer lives to understand that prayer is about what God wants and what God desires. In Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. How many of you love that verse? Man, I love it because there's this car they're making that's going to come out next year. And I so desire it. And the Lord will give me the desires of my heart, right? I mean, it says it here, right here in the Bible, that he'll give me the desires of my heart. Isn't that what it says? It does say that, but it says something very important before it says that he'll give you the desires of your heart. It says to delight yourself in the Lord. How many of you do that? How many of you delight yourself in the Lord? Anyone? Anyone here do that? And you may not, a lot of you aren't raising your hand because you're thinking what I'm thinking when I read the verse. Okay, hang on a second. I do want the desires of my heart, so I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. What is that? How do you delight yourself in the Lord? Let me just share this with you. I want you to think about this. I want you to pray about this. But this is what I believe the Bible is saying. This is how you delight yourself in the Lord. Are you ready? I mean, I'm about to give you a $1 million answer here, okay? I mean, I don't see a pen out or a piece of paper or nothing. It's because you are in awe, aren't you? You're like, well, he knows the answer. I'm about to tell you how to get the desires of your heart. This will be broadcast all over the world via the internet. So I probably won't be here long. Somebody's going to come and get me and take me away. Okay. The way that you delight yourself in the Lord to get the desires of your heart is you first must rid your heart of your own desires. Everybody got that? You must first rid your heart of your desires. Is that because all your desires are bad? Is that, but some of them are, right? I wasn't sure which way to go with that. But yeah, some of those desires, they need to go, right? Some of you have a name that fits that desire, right? His name, her name, right? It's got to go. Rid your heart of your desires and then ask God to fill your heart with His desires. Had a great conversation earlier in Keith's office. A great, deeply theological conversation. Keith wasn't there. Hey, am I lying? Yeah, because you guys were there. Keith wasn't there. It was probably the most profound theological conversation ever take place in Pastor Keith's office. I'm kidding. But we were talking about prayer. And I said, you know, here's my struggle with prayer. I have such an earthly perspective. Man, I have an earthly perspective, right? And so in my earthly perspective, I'll drive through a neighborhood and I'll see a house and I'm thinking, wow, I wish I had that house. And I might even be emboldened to pray, God, give me that house or one like it. And in that same street, I pass a car and I say, Lord, give me a car like that one, or that one will be fine too, right? Because I have such an earthly perspective, and that's what we're talking about. I think that's what really stunts the growth of our prayer lives, is we have such an earthly perspective that we're praying for God to give us things that don't come anywhere near His glory. And so, in fact, we're asking God for the lesser things, when He wants to give us so much more. Now, if you walked off the street tonight and you just showed up and you came in here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then I would say you would have to be profoundly confused at how could knowing God in a deeper way be better than having some gigantic, awesome house and some gigantic, awesome car and being set for life and having all the money you could have. How could it be better than that? And here's what I would say. Because we're not here very long. And what awaits us is eternity forever and ever and ever. Let me give you this horrible example, but it's true. I'm on my way to meet some friends, and we're going to go to a really nice restaurant in Louisville, all right? It's one of my favorites. It's not really in Louisville. It's in Simpsonville, Kentucky, and it's Claudia Sanders Dinner House. Anybody familiar with that? I mean, how many of you heard of Colonel Sanders, KFC, right? It's his wife, all right, and she's got this place. You guys been there? Oh, my goodness. It's unbelievable. I mean, here's what they do. They bring out, dinner comes out like on this big roll tray deal, and it's got a gigantic bowl of mashed potatoes, corn. Those are appetizers when you're eating chicken, right? And then this gigantic bowl of fried chicken. And I'm on my way there from Bowling Green, and I am starving. I feel like I'm going to pass out. I hadn't eaten for like an hour, right? And so what do? I stop in Smith's Grove and I go to McDonald's and I think I'll just get like a 6-piece chicken nugget, just something, you know. But then by the time they throw in the fries, a half a gallon of Coke, you know, I'm just not even hungry when I get there. See what I'm saying? That's how we are. When all that is waiting for us and all that God has for us, and we're willing to settle for what this world thinks is the best. So I'm going to delight myself in the Lord by ridding my heart of my desires. How do you do that? Because the point of prayer, I'm going to say it again, the point of prayer isn't what you want. The point of prayer is, what does God want? What is it that God wants to say to you? How many of you agree that, like me, that many times your prayers are like a spiritual text message? God, here's three quick things that I need. If you can do this, this, and this, that'd be great. By the way, if you can do them by next week, that'd be even better. But 2 weeks will be fine, God. And we don't stop to ask, what is it that God has for us? And you know what we do in our prayer life? Even though there's this phenomenal place to go and eat, we're going to stop at McDonald's and just fill up on something. Why? Because we have such an earthly perspective. I have such an earthly perspective. And so Jesus says it. He says, knock and the door will be open, right? Seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given. But I want us to really understand that, because I've heard these verses preached 1,000 times. And I've heard people say, whatever you want, if you have faith, or if you pray it in the name of Jesus, you will have it. But they're missing the heart of God. Because if they're right, that means I can pray for whatever I want, even things that are sinful. But that's not the point of the Scripture. The point of the Scripture is that in prayer, it's not that God lines up with us. It's that we line up with God. That's what prayer is about. Prayer is for me to see God's perspective, to hear God's voice. And it's not just like Christmas time for me to tell God everything that I want. Now, I'm saying this, and I want you to know, there are many things that I still ask for. And I'm not telling you, don't ask because it might be bad. You see, I trust God more than that. See, I can ask God for anything, and my trust is He'll give me what I need. I can trust Him. So if I want something, I'll ask God. If you want something, ask God. But know this, prayer is about God's desires and God's heart. And the answer that He gives to the prayers that we pray will line up with His heart. And so somehow I rid my heart of my desires and ask God to fill my heart with His desires. And isn't this wild? And once God fills your heart with His desires, then He gives you the desires of your heart. That's how that works. That's how you get everything you desire. Get rid of what you desire. Ask God to fill your heart with His desires. And then He gives you the desires of your heart. And so we have a time of altar. A time to come and pray. A time to seek the face and the heart of God. Now I know for me, what I had to think about today, because it was yesterday morning in devotion that we talked about text messaging. And Pastor Steve asked us, you know, why is text messaging so popular? And there were all these wonderful answers given. And the more the other people answered, the more convicted I got, because those weren't the reasons I text messaged. Well, it's just if you got a moment when you need to relate something to somebody, it's great, convenient communication, it's efficient and all that. And I just kept thinking, I text because I don't want to talk to them. And in the same time, I'm thinking about prayer. And if God gave us all an iPhone that was just for Him, right? I find that I text Him more than I really pray to Him. Why would we do that? I'll tell you why I do, since you already should think so less of me, so much more less of me. You know, I do it because I'm afraid that He's not going to give me what I want. I'm afraid that he's going to reveal my heart to me. I'm afraid he's going to show me what areas in my life that I need to work on. I'm afraid he's going to show me that I'm sitting at McDonald's eating when he's got a banquet table that will fill me for eternity. And so I text him so that maybe I won't find all that out about me. Can I tell you the great, good news tonight? God already knows that about me. And he's going to reveal it to me whether I pray to him or not, because he's a loving, caring Father. He's going to direct me in my prayers. He's going to show me. But he calls us to pray, to build that relationship with him. And so I want lovingly to challenge us tonight that prayer, as much as we have been taught that prayer is about what we want, it's not. Prayer is about what God wants. And so I pray to know his heart so that I know what my heart should be like. And we pray. Would you bow your heads with me? And so maybe you did wander off the street tonight. Maybe there's a crisis in your life and you said, man, I've got to get to church. I would be remiss tonight. I would be wrong. I'd be in error tonight not to tell you that there really is a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus was the only Son of God, and he died on the cross, and his blood was shed so that our sin could be forgiven. And so I've talked about eternity tonight, and I've talked about the banquet table in heaven tonight, but I want you to know we only taste of his cup, we only eat from his table when he has forgiven our sin. I wonder if you're here tonight, and maybe you know that you've never invited Christ to come into your life. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sin. You've never done that. I'm the only one looking right now. I'm just going to ask you, if that's you, just raise your hand and put it right back down, just real quick. I want to encourage you. I remember being 16 years old, and I knew that I was a sinner, and I knew my sin needed to be forgiven. And I invited Christ to come into my life to forgive me of my sin. And the Bible says he's faithful and just, and that he would do that. The other thing we learn in prayer is it's about obedience. And if you're here tonight and you've never been baptized, you're a follower of Jesus, maybe you've followed him for years, but you've never been baptized, I want you to know we talk about that a lot here because it's important. Baptism is the first thing that God calls us to do once Jesus has come into our life and forgiven us of our sin. And it's in prayer that we find that out, that God wants us, desires for us to be obedient to him. And I'd invite you to come tonight to this altar and to make that decision of obedience. I want to ask this, and then we'll come to the altar. I wonder how many of you, just hearing the message tonight, would say, you know, a lot of my prayer life has been spiritual texting, where I've wanted to tell God what I've wanted, but I haven't wanted to hear from him. How many of you would say that's where you're at tonight? That's where you've been? Okay. All right. Several. Okay. I just want to invite us all to the altar. You can look up. I just want to invite us to the altar tonight to do the thing that we've talked about tonight, to pray with a bold heart, because he tells us to come boldly before his throne, with a sincere heart. And you know what I think a sincere heart is? I think a sincere heart is one that says, God, I've wanted you to hear from me, but I haven't wanted to hear from you. Speak to me. Speak to me. Satan has told some of you tonight, the reason you shouldn't pray is because you've messed up so royally that God doesn't want to hear from you. And I want you to know, you can't find that here. That is a lie from the devil. Because our daddy, God our Father, he wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to be in relationship with us. Let's stand together. This altar is open. You come.